those who can do, those who cannot do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com.
From the blogulator.com.
This is Blogulator Radio.
Skewering and fawning over all things television for the Fancy Pants Gangsters Netcast Network.
I'm Bridget.
I'm Qualler.
Our opinions are valid. So there are a lot of things we have to talk about tonight, and yet at the same time not too many things that we have to talk about. We could spend 2.5 hours talking about episode 2 of Breaking Bad.
Could we?
Yeah. We could spend 2.5 hours talking about the most recent episode that aired Sunday night of The Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Oh, and I can't because I haven't seen it yet.
And I know. I saved it for you. Don't worry.
Thank you.
We could spend 2 hours or 5 hours even talking about the recent episode of The Newsroom, which apparently Qualler doesn't hate as much.
Okay, well, I still don't think it's a good show.
Uh-huh.
And I think last night's episode was the least bad of all of the episodes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's still not good.
So why does this show get a... If I have a student...
Mm-hmm.
No, let's not go there. But like...
Like I said to Chris on Facebook today, it wasn't like anger-inducingly bad, but it was more like, just soul-suckingly bad.
Are those really our standards? Why do we keep giving this show any of our time?
Because I like to watch it.
Why?
Because I want to be part of the conversation.
There it is.
And because it's filmed well, and because I like Emily Mortimer, and I like some of the parts of the show, and I'm an HBO completist.
Okay, yeah. I just feel like it's getting a little bit of, like, a free pass.
Oh, it's not getting a free pass at all.
Well, but it's getting our... I guess they don't care as much about ratings because it's HBO, but...
Well, it's definitely getting more cultural relevance than it probably deserves
because it's on
HBO.
No, and, I agree. And, like, if everyone, like... such a shitty show, shouldn't we as viewers all stop watching it?
I don't think it's such a shitty show.
You just said that this episode went from... What were the kinds of bad?
I said last episode was anger-inducingly bad. This episode was just more generally bad, but had good elements to it. And the good... I'd still rather watch a show that is bad, but with good elements, than, like, a show that's just bad.
Name the 5 good elements. Top 5.
From last night's episode?
Of the show in general. By the way, we were talking to... this podcast is a little... It's going to be split into 2 parts.
Hodgepodge.
Because tonight we're going to see, with Chris and many other friends, The Dark Knight Rises. And we wanted to talk to you a little bit about our views of television in a pre-us viewing The Dark Knight Rises world.
Well, let's not talk any more about The Newsroom because we have an episode on the docket that will feature the two of us and Chris, as well as Sarcastro and Kerry Reisler.
Okay.
We are all very passionate in our dislike of the show and want to devote an entire hour of podcast to that. So that's coming up in probably the next couple of weeks. Stay tuned, listeners.
All right, so...
I'll save my spiel for that episode.
Do you think The Newsroom would be better or worse if it were directed by... Christopher Nolan.
I don't know. I don't think Christopher Nolan would be the right director for The Newsroom.
Really?
Probably not.
Do you think it'd be more action-y?
Maybe.
Maybe darker?
Maybe.
Do you think they'd use as many Coldplay songs?
I don't know if that's the director's decision.
How many Coldplay songs do you think will be in The Dark Knight Rises?
Probably 0.
Okay.
What's your point?
I don't know. I'm trying to tie it together. This is obviously our podcast equivalent of an undergraduate paper written the night before something was due.
Right.
So I'm trying to create a theme
Okay.
So as to
okay.
pull together.
That's a good
all,
theme. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, what if Christopher Nolan directed last night's episode of Breaking Bad?
I don't think last night's episode of Breaking Bad could have been better.
Really?
Which makes... Yeah, really. We're
okay.
eating... This is our first time podcasting to you while eating
it's kind
dinner.
Of a,
we wanted you to kind of get
kind
in...
Of a,
like, we just wanted to give you, like, a glimpse into our lives.
Right,
like
a snapshot.
Mm-hmm.
If this
you
is
will.
What it's like to be Qualler or Bridget
mm-hmm.
every day.
Yeah.
It's just
great.
Like this constantly. What was I saying? Oh, I was saying that this is kind of a well-fed guide to life, Vlog You Later Radio
mm-hmm.
mashup,
yep.
if you will.
Mm.
Which you should listen to, Well-Fed Guide to Life, also on the
yeah.
Paint Span Sanctuaries network.
And we're eating a yellow curry with green pepper
it's quite
and
good.
Cauliflower and zucchini, and it's over a brown rice.
It's quite good.
Yes.
Quite good.
Mm.
Back to Breaking Bad.
Mm-hmm.
One, if Christopher Nolan directed last night's episode, I would think there would be a lot more helicopter shots of Albuquerque.
That'd be cool.
I feel like he should direct one episode just so we could get like a Nolan-esque episode of Breaking Bad. Although I do think the directorial style of Breaking Bad is so established now that that it would feel kind of weird for, like, a guest director to come in.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when Quentin Tarantino directed an episode of ER?
No.
He did. The only thing that made it Quentin Tarantino-esque, though, was that Juliana Margulies and, Sherry Stringfield were wearing sunglasses in a scene. I think that's the only thing that was memorable about it being Quentin Tarantino-esque.
I do not remember that.
Yeah, he did.
Hmm.
Anyway, last night's episode of Breaking Bad, I think it was, like, it was, obviously it was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really, really liked the scene where Hank was questioning Mike. I felt like that scene could have been, like, the entire episode, and it would have been beautiful and just so tense. It's an example of a scene that Breaking Bad just... does sleepwalking these days. It's just like a throw a couple people into the room, have each other what each other knows about each other bounce off each other, and just the face, like the way that people react, and
you mean
everything.
They do it so well that they could do it in their sleep.
Yeah,
it doesn't look like they're not sleepwalking through the scene.
Yes.
Okay,
you're right.
Yeah, I agree. I think that was probably one of my favorite scenes from the episode.
And what about when...
But I also really liked how the episode wrapped up. With him kind of deciding not to kill that woman who, by the way, viewers, listeners, do we know for sure who that woman is? Are Qualler and I just dum-dum heads? I'm pretty sure it's, like...
It's not Gus's... Okay.
I thought
I
it was Gus's
today.
Baby mama.
No, it's not, but she's an executive at this Madrigal Corporation.
Okay.
That owns Hoyos. So, she's not related to Gus, but she's part of the corporation.
Okay.
So I don't think there's that much more.
And how did we
know
that?
How
did you know that?
I only knew that from reading recaps.
Okay.
This morning, because I didn't catch on to that really either.
Mm-hmm.
I think. Well, and also the scene that Bridget you. Commented on last night where I can't remember the name of the kind of veteran detective talking about how Gus was under his nose all along and Hank's very, very, very subtle facial expressions that could indicate that the wheels are spinning, that maybe Hank or maybe Walt is that guy.
Right. I love that scene where he was just like, and he's just under your nose all the time. That was perfect dramatic irony. I feel like that's maybe the number one thing that this show does well, is pulling off that when the viewers know something that the characters don't.
Yes.
Because I feel like that can be a really difficult thing to pull off without making it, like, corny.
Right.
But this show does it really well, and at that moment I was screaming at Hank, because I shout a lot when I watch Breaking Bad.
Yes, you do.
I was like, it's Walt! Walt's right under your nose, don't you see?
I was definitely more riveted by what was going on between Hank and Mike than what was going on with Walt and anybody. Other than the scene at the opening where Walt and Jesse were together, and that was really more of an awesome Jesse scene than a Walt scene.
Oh, but didn't it just make you want to, like, punch Walt in the mouth?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. The scene where he kind of devised his scheme of how the recent cigarette would be explained to Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
I think, as usual, Aaron Paul was phenomenal in that scene. And, man.
Is he married?
Aaron Paul?
Yeah.
I don't know. But have you seen the video of him on The Price is Right from, like, 10 years ago yet?
No.
It's pretty adorable.
That's awesome. Oh.
He's like, he looks the same, but he looks like what, like, he was probably actually, like, 21 when he was on The Price is Right. So, like, seeing what he should, his character should actually look like on Breaking Bad, I'm really glad that he's not actually that age, because he was kind of a dweeb.
Well, and it would be a lot sadder.
Yeah, it would be a lot sadder.
Was he from L.A.? Was he from California?
Aaron Paul?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
That's my guess.
Does he seem like he would be?
Yeah. He reminds me of my cousins. Except my cousins are not meth dealers.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Well, good on Aaron Paul for making you think that he is actually a meth dealer.
What? Well, no, he's not actually.
Right.
What?
I mean, he did a good enough job for you to... Never mind.
I don't know any meth.
That was kind of an example of, like, a Christopher Nolan-esque plot point that is kind of hard to decipher, but makes total sense in the context of the movie.
What you just said?
What was going on in my brain and what actually came out.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Just saying.
So, here's a question.
Yes.
Do you think Batman would have found Walt by now? If Batman knew everything that Hank knows... Like, if we took out Hank and replaced him with Batman. Christopher Nolan's Batman.
Christopher, okay.
Because the Batman from the comic book, the Batman.
Yeah.
I think would have, for
sure. I feel like Christopher Nolan's Batman...
He'd be angrier.
...would be too self-involved to even be looking into it.
Wow.
I feel like he's kind of a brooder more than, and kind of a reluctant, more of a reluctant Batman than, like, other Batmans we know. He's kind of a more emo Batman than, like, Michael Keaton.
Oh, God.
Or Val Kilmer, or definitely George Clooney. I don't think we want to even, that doesn't count, George Clooney.
Mm-mm.
Batman. What do you think? I don't know.
Oh, I think he would have figured it out.
So if all of this was taking place in Gotham City rather than Albuquerque, but would it have even been on his radar? I feel like it's not.
Well, let's say that, like, Hank is friends with Batman in this universe, and Hank's like, okay, this is really getting to me, but I've reached a point where I can't figure it out on my own. I'm going to call Batman and have him help me.
See, I don't think Batman would even... I feel like Batman would be like, where is the action?
Do you think Batman's a total douche?
Kinda.
Do you think we'll answer this question differently after having seen The Dark Knight Rises?
I hope so.
I hope so, too.
That will be the question of the day.
You listening, Nolan? I hope so. Man.
That's a good question, though.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I'm not familiar with the Batman comic books.
I'm not really either.
But I remember the Batman animated series. Batman the Animated Series.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember that one?
Yeah, I remember it.
I feel like that Batman would have figured it out in, like, a half an hour.
Oh, sure.
Because he was awesome.
Again, my question is, would Batman have even given two shits?
Yeah, he's taking down crime.
Right, but
the only difference is that in that universe, Walt... like Heisenberg, like, he still would have been leading, and him leading a double life, he's actually kind of a perfect Batman villain.
He's kind of a Two-Face, if you will.
Well, he's any Batman villain where he's, like, hiding in plain sight, because that's what the Batman villains, always do, right?
Okay, that's a good point.
But the difference is that when he were Heisenberg, they would play up the Heisenberg thing a lot more. I feel like they've kind of dropped that aspect in Breaking Bad, or like, I don't know.
So it'd be like...
So it'd be a lot more like, and he'd have, like, a costume, or, like, a horrible mask. He did, he wore that hat, remember?
Right.
When he was Heisenberg.
Can we just talk quickly to try to recollect what happened in The Dark Knight before we see The Dark Knight Rises?
Well, this is a TV podcast.
I know, but let's pretend that Harvey Dent is Walter White and just... But let's...
Okay, so... Let's do this off camera.
All right, fine.
But at the end, Two-Face, the Batman didn't want the city to see such a wonderful man that they all respected to know that he was a horrible, like, a criminal. So he let everyone think that he just died. And everyone thinks that Batman is the criminal. So when we go into this new movie, Batman will be the anti-hero for the people. Because nobody knows that Batman saved the day.
That's what happened at the end of The Dark Knight?
Do you not ever pay attention when we watch movies or
totally
TV?
I totally forgot that.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Okay. Now I'm excited to see it.
Okay. Do you anything else you want to say about Breaking Bad? I still feel like it's kind of... I know last time you, me, and Chris talked about it, I feel it's hard to talk about what happened. Because it's hard for me to, like, even... figure out how I feel about it, other than it was awesome.
Well, why don't we talk a little bit more...
Like, how do you describe a rainbow?
Now that it's been a week, and we've been able to kind of dissect everything that happened in the opening scene of the first episode, I mean, what are your thoughts on that now?
My thoughts on that haven't really changed much after having watched the second one. I'm glad that they didn't do any of the flash-forward... anything in this most recent episode.
Sure.
I mean, I kind of figured after watching that one, okay, he's the new Gus, kind of, or he's...
But a lot has obviously changed since that.
What do you mean?
He's 52 in the flash forward. That's a year past what's going on the show right now.
Okay.
He's clearly not really the king because he needs a machine gun to... handle whatever danger he's doing.
Oh, instead of like a butt. You don't think Gus had machine guns?
Well, Walt never had machine guns.
What?
I mean, Walt has never been a fan of using guns. I'm just saying, things have obviously gotten to a point where he has to use a machine gun for something. And that doesn't indicate to me that he's coming from a position of power anymore. It seems a little more desperate.
It seems less desperate to me than building the bombs, which had been his weapons previously.
Okay.
That he's gotten to a place now where he has enough connections and knows enough people that he can purchase a machine gun. He couldn't have bought a machine gun before, because Gus was watching him. People were watching him.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, I don't think that it necessarily indicates one way or the other. Like, I don't know. We don't know why he's in... California.
Right.
And why he has a fake ID.
Right.
So
your conclusion is not enough information to really care.
Not enough information in the second episode. Nothing in the second episode to me really illuminated much. Except that he's still in the game. He's still going forward and being in the game. And I kind of would have guessed that anyway. Nothing in the second episode has made me rethink that first scene. I don't think. Are we gonna have time to talk about Encore?
Why don't we talk about Encore after this brief break where we go see The Dark Knight Rises?
Well, first I just want to introduce... I feel like we're bad at segues.
Just go with
it. It's like I'm... Don't yell at me! Do you see how he talks to me? You're meaner than Jeff Daniels.
Wow.
Who's mean? But,
listen, internet girl. I would hesitate to call you a journalist.
I wouldn't call myself a journalist either.
I can't believe that
you
even call yourself a journalist.
Yeah. I like that even the character who's a woman who has, like, a PhD in economics and is, like, the smartest person, like,
Olivia Munn.
She has yet to, like, have any lines or any interactions with people that, like...
Indicate
that she's intelligent. Or is really all that smart. Or has a personality.
Oh, she's smart. She went to business school.
But I'm saying the only way we know that she's smart is other people telling us that she's smart.
Also,
because all of her lines are still like, what? I'm being silly. What? Oh, I don't know much about
dating. Well, you obviously didn't watch the entire episode last night where she was explaining to Mackenzie McHale all about the Glass-Steagall Act and why it's ruined the economy. You also missed the entire subplot then of Mackenzie McHale admitting to her that she doesn't know anything at all about economics, which is really interesting because she's supposedly the best producer in the entire world of news, but yet she doesn't know anything about, like, basic Econ 101.
Hmm.
Anyway.
Yeah, well...
Save it for another day, though.
We could talk more about Breaking Bad. I think we should talk more about Breaking Bad when we return to see how we view that episode post Dark Knight Rises, because Sarcastro...
Living in a post-Dark Knight Rises
world. Well, Sarcastro mentioned something about the Dark Knight Rises and it probably not being able to stand up to the second episode of Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
So I think that we should...
Okay, we'll discuss that when we get back.
All right. Of the second episode of Breaking Bad in a post having viewed the Dark Knight Rises universe.
Dark Knight Rises universe.
My universe feels totally different. Does yours?
No.
I feel as different as I felt when Susan Boyle.
Oh, yeah. She changed the world.
Yeah.
She totally changed the world.
It's like a
pre- She changed the way that I view singing and musical performance, and just it changed my viewpoint. I didn't know that people that weren't, like, super attractive could also have beautiful voices.
Yeah, it actually changed the way I see everything in the world, so this is a similar experience.
Right.
So...
Are we gonna talk...
I don't think we should talk
Dark
about
Knight
the movie,
Rises
because...
Spoilers? I feel like we have to a little bit.
But this is a TV podcast.
I know, but... Sometimes things blur, lines blur. For instance, in The Dark Knight Rises, how many TV stars did we see? We saw Joseph Gordon-Levitt, star of TV's The Rock and the Sun, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Obviously.
We saw Daniel Sunyata, co-star of Rescue Me.
Uh-huh.
Nestor Carbonell,
uh-huh.
Co-star of Lost, and more importantly, Ringer.
Uh-huh. Carcetti.
Yep, Mayor Carcetti / Littlefinger.
Uh-huh.
Aidan Gillen. Who else? We saw the star of...
That guy from Dexter.
Quinn.
Quinn from Dexter,
really briefly.
Mm-hmm.
Playing a jerk cop, as usual. Because that's what he is.
Yeah.
I don't know. People, stuff, things... Christian Bale ever in any TV shows? I don't think so. Dogs are barking at each other.
I don't think Christian Bale has ever in any TV shows.
No. answering your question from earlier about what a Christopher Nolan-directed episode of Breaking Bad would look like, I think it would be a lot more about the drug trade and how it affects the citizens of Albuquerque, and a lot more about the citizens society.
It's not like Dark Knight Rises is actually about the citizens. Like, they talk about it, or any of the Batman movies don't actually seem to focus on the citizens. Except for the point of view of whether or not Batman and other people can save them.
Okay.
I don't know, none of the citizens have individual motive. They're just like a mass. They're a plot device. So I don't know that... it would really focus. So what do you mean by focus on?
So it would focus on the citizens of Albuquerque as much as The Dark Knight Rises focuses on the citizens of Gotham City, which is, from a big picture perspective, not, it's not like zooming in on the community in a way like The Wire does.
Okay.
Because no movie can possibly be that thorough in its examination of a city as something like The Wire.
But I feel like all of the citizens okay, here's how I think it would be different. Going along that same line, is that Breaking Bad would have to cast a lot more extras than it's currently casting.
Right.
And there would have to be a lot of outdoor crowd scenes.
Yeah. And it would be a completely different show.
And Hank would have to be talking about the citizens, protecting the citizens of Albuquerque.
Right.
A lot more than he does. And Walt would have to be talking about the citizens.
And it would have to
and
be,
like,
two
protecting
and a half
the citizens
long.
From what? And it would be a lot more showdown, showdowns between Hank and Heisenberg, like we talked about before.
Right. But then if...
I'd watch an episode of that.
Make it happen, Vince Gilligan. Make it happen.
So, I think it's safe to say that I liked this season of Breaking Bad so far more than I liked The Dark Knight Rises. Not that you necessarily have to compare apples to oranges, but... In terms of...
So what you're saying is you like something that is 1/8 of the way into the story more than the thing that you just saw, and you know that definitively?
What I said was I like this season of Breaking Bad so far more than I like what I just saw.
So you'd like 1/8 of
you
a
don't
story
actually need
more
to,
than
you
like
don't, you don't need to rephrase it
full
for me.
Story?
Because I just phrased it. In a way that is clear.
What
is it about seeing Christopher Nolan movies that brings out the dick in you?
I'm not being a dick. I'm just...
Listeners, is he being a little bit of a dick?
No, I'm not... All I'm saying is, how can you possibly say that... All I'm saying is, if you look at Breaking Bad as one story... Which I don't think you really should. I don't really think that's the one way that you should read any serialized show, even a show as heavily serialized as Breaking Bad. But you're saying that you would rather watch two episodes of Breaking Bad more than one Dark Knight Rises.
Yes.
Okay. I totally agree.
I'm saying if we're fracturing the story, so let's say that like. The Dark Knight trilogy is a story told in parts. And so far, this season of Breaking Bad is more The Dark Knight than The Dark Knight Rises in terms of how much I'm enjoying it.
Okay, it's just from a pure enjoyment, entertainment.
And how good the story seems. How it leaves. So, like, when there are, like, there are many differences between Batman and Breaking Bad.
Right.
But, like... In both cases, it's like a man leading a double life, and like there are some kind of dealing with like suspense and like criminals and crime and like there are the police who are not necessarily doing a good job, and then there's instead of the vigilante Batman, you have like the anti-hero of kind of taking matters into, but there's like the citizen taking matters into his own hands. The citizen is really smart and can invent a lot of gadgets on the fly that he uses. And the citizen thinks that he's taking down the bad guys, but he's just doing it for his own gain, whereas Batman is doing it for Gotham, supposedly. So obviously they're very different. But in terms of, like, what I liked a lot about Batman Begins and The Dark Knight is that both of those movies left me just feeling really, like, creepy. And, like, they're, like, scenes where you just, like, got chills. And I feel like Breaking Bad also creeps me out in a way that's good. Like, when they do suspenseful scenes with characters that are meant to be creepy, like, the bad guys on Breaking Bad, like, chill me. In a way that Bane did not.
What are you saying? He was not creeping you out, Bridget.
That's... It was more like this, Waller.
Right.
Hello, my name is Bane.
Spoiler alert, we're commenting
His voice
on
was silly.
Bane's silly voice.
So who's scarier, Gus or Bane?
Gus, but why do we have to
Okay, who's scarier,
them?
The Joker or Gus?
I mean, it depends on the situation, I guess.
If you were walking down a dark alley, would you rather run into Gus or the Joker?
The Joker. But that's because the Joker has a totally different physical appearance from Gus.
You'd rather run into the Joker?
No, I'd rather run into Gus than the Joker.
Okay.
But I would rather... I'd rather Gus be part of... I'd rather the Joker be part of society than Gus, because at least we know the Joker is bad. We don't know that Gus is bad.
Because of his makeup?
We don't... Gus is the villain who's
Why
right under our
so
nose.
Why are you getting so upset? You knew that this is what we were trying to do.
I'm not getting upset.
Sound a little upset.
I'm not upset. I'm just... I'm questioning what... Why do we need to compare and... They're two totally different...
Because that's the shtick of this...
See, that's the thing. It's a shtick. Are we a shticky podcast, Bridget? Or are we... She's covering her... resting her head on her hands right
so
now.
So, has anything changed for you after seeing The Dark Knight Rises? In how you viewed Breaking Bad or any other TV shows?
No.
Then why did we do...
Because you introduced this narrative, this device to be... As you said earlier in this episode, this was going to be a device that we used, much like a 7th grade English paper.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of rejecting that premise.
Well, maybe you should have kind of rejected it from the beginning, well, instead of acting like
I tried to.
I feel like the way Hank's going to feel when he finally finds out that Walt is... part of this whole drug thing. That's how I feel right now. Betrayed.
Okay.
Hurt.
All right.
Surprised.
Okay, yep.
Angry.
Lay it on a little thicker.
Like it's
please.
Happening right under my
please.
Nose and I didn't even know it.
Please.
I feel the way Bruce Wayne felt. Spoiler alert. When Marianne Cotillard.
Yeah. She literally stabbed him.
That was a big spoiler.
Yeah. We introduced this as spoiler heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to, but then you interrupted me. We'll say it in the text.
Man, this has been the fightiest podcast ever.
I'm not fighting.
You are so fighting.
Oh, so the first podcast where I'm going toe-to-toe with you is...
Toe-to-toe by insulting me?
I'm not insulting you. This is all because we played one-on-one basketball yesterday.
And I beat you.
I beat you in pig. And you beat me on 1-on-1, and now we'll have
well,
to
what's
play
a
another
more,
game
what's
tomorrow.
More of a gentleman's game, pig?
I don't know.
Or 1-on-1.
Why do we have to compare and contrast? Okay, that was me being a dick. Okay, I admit that.
Okay, why don't you talk about, okay, so we talked a little bit, what if Christopher Nolan had directed an episode of Breaking Bad?
Uh-huh.
What if the director of Breaking Bad...
What if there was a TV series about Batman that was on the air?
That was on AMC.
That was on AMC.
What do you think that might look like?
Probably like the animated series.
Really? You think so?
Well, I don't know.
Like, do you think they'd have it, like, serialized? Like, Mad Men and, like...
Well, it would have to
Breaking
be.
Breaking Bad?
Because
or...
that's the way that all TV shows are. On cable these days.
Because the animated series, each episode introduced pretty much a new villain.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder, do you think that they would have, like, one villain that would go throughout? Or would they introduce a new villain each episode, and the thing that remained constant throughout is, just that it's Batman fighting crime?
I don't know. I could see it going either way.
What if Vince Gilligan was in charge of it?
It would probably be serialized.
Describe an episode. What that might look like.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, why is Bridget making me do this? It would probably be more nuanced than the movies. There would probably be a little bit more room to breathe. Be probably less reliant on filling in backstory by having random people tell the backstory along with flashbacks. See, that's the thing about long-form TV that, to me, is always going to have an advantage, even over a movie trilogy like this, is that even though we now view The Dark Knight as the Dark Knight trilogy, each film is still stands on its own a lot more than, like, a group of three episodes of, say, the newest season of Game of Thrones.
In terms of having to tell a whole story.
Right. Each film of The Dark Knight Rises is much more of a self-contained story than, like, three episodes of Game of Thrones put together.
Yeah.
And that's... And even a show like Game of Thrones can sometimes feel overstuffed because there are so many characters, still feels a lot more able to breathe and not be totally suffocated by so much stuff going on as like Dark Knight Rises does. I mean, Bridget looks sad now.
You were mean to me.
I'm sorry. I thought we were playing, having fun with this.
No.
No. What would you think? What would you think if Vince Gilligan was the showrunner for Batman?
I think the pilot would open with Batman in the middle of something, like, really. Like, he's like, caught in, like, some kind of, there's no way out, but obviously he's gonna figure out a way out, because he's Batman, kind of thing. Like, maybe it opens on, like, a dark night, N-I-G-H-T, and it's in, like, a parking ramp.
Uh-huh.
And, like, Bruce Wayne, or someone's, like, walking to his car, and out of the shadows comes, like, a guy with, like, a big... like, weapon, and then, like, other... and there's some, like, kind of snappy dialogue.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then,
mm-hmm.
like, I don't know.
What if it were on NBC?
If it were on NBC?
Mm-hmm.
If we're on NBC...
Batman, the series, serialized series, on NBC.
Who's writing it, though?
Let's say from the creators of The Cape.
Oh. Okay. Let's see. Scene opens, woman at a park with young child pushing child on the swing.
Okay.
Mothers are around kind of laughing. There's some other baby carriages and, you know, doing park stuff. And then all of a sudden there's, like, a dark cloud kind of coming over.
Sure.
And, like, the mom, like, suddenly looks really scared and, like, grabs the kid. And all the moms are grabbing their kids and they're kind of running. And, like, the dark cloud continues. And then we see that somehow this dark cloud is, like, whatever villain
right.
is currently in control of the city.
Right.
And that villain laughs and says something kind of snarky.
Mm-hmm.
And then... the mom with the little boy, like, they're kind of running, and, like, everyone else kind of escapes, but they end up, like, cornered in an alley.
Mm-hmm.
And the little boy's like, I don't know what we're gonna do. There's no one left to save us. Or the mom, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Something, something, yeah. something. She asks a question of
right.
the villain,
right.
and that question is answered by Batman.
Yes.
Which is a voice off camera that we just hear.
Yes.
And then we all turn to, like, the bad guy turns and looks. and then when he's turning, he gets punched
right
from the other side.
That's, yeah.
And then, yeah, that's how that would start.
I think that's exactly right. If it was AMC, it would start with a lot more, like,
I feel like
you're
AMC,
not who you think you are. Whereas NBC would be a lot more like, bam, action hero.
And I also feel like the AMC would play up the whole, like, Bruce Wayne, Batman dichotomy a lot more. And it would really be weighing on Bruce Wayne. I feel like it would be, like, really psychological.
There would also be a really long, like, stretched out some character who doesn't know that Bruce Wayne is Batman. And it would just become, like, agonizing because it's like, how stupid are you to not realize
this? And it'd be like
this?
His girlfriend.
Right. Right. And she'd have to be played by Jennifer Carpenter from Dexter.
And the way that we would get the backstory on the AMC show is that Bruce Wayne would be looking through, like, a shoebox. Or maybe Batman would be looking through, like, a shoebox? No, probably Bruce Wayne would be looking through a shoebox, and there'd be, like, a photograph of him and his parents, and then we'd get a little story about that, and then there'd be a photograph of a bat, and then we'd get a little story about that.
And if it was on CW, it would be, he'd be looking at a shoebox, and then it would go back to him in the 1850s, and Ian Somerhalder, and
he'd be a vampire.
Yeah.
And I would watch that
and
show.
That would be awesome.
If it were on the CW, then it would be Batman the Teenage Years.
Yeah,
and it would be super awesome.
It'd be cool.
And he'd be a football star.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
I think we should probably wrap it up.
Yeah.
It's getting kind of late.
Yeah. I feel a little disjointed. Were we going to talk about Encore? Or should we save that for a future podcast?
Let's save that. Save that for later.
Okay.
Suffice it to say, Encore is an excellent network to watch movies.
Yes. All really I have to say about there's this network that we have called Encore, and they play movies. And I think they just play movies. Do they have any series?
They have the occasional original Encore original miniseries.
Okay. But it's mostly movies, and Qualler and I decided that it's the network equivalent of going to the video store with your sibling and your dad, and it's like
1996. Yeah.
And like, no one can agree on what to get, so your dad sees something on the shelf and is like, "Well, we haven't seen this."
It stars Dennis Quaid.
And like, no one really wants it, but like, no one has any strong feelings against it, so that's the movie you go with.
Right.
That's what Encore plays all the time.
And it's great.
A lot of Dennis Quaid. And then, like, Uncle Buck once in a while.
Yeah.
Or The Craft.
Yeah.
And it's great, and I love it.
Yeah. You know what else is great? Netflix.
Yeah.
Netflix, of course, is our sponsor. You can go to bit.ly/blogflix.
You can probably find a lot of those movies, like Uncle Buck and Dennis Quaid.
Oh, yeah.
It's
probably even better than Encore.
And now seasons 1 through 4 of Breaking Bad?
Yes, all 4 previous seasons of Breaking Bad are available on Netflix. Go to bit.ly/blogflix, sign up for your 2-week free membership, and after that 2-week free membership is up, it's $8 a month to subscribe to the online version of Netflix.
And you'd be supporting netcasts.
Like ours.
Like ours, and like the food one you mentioned.
Well-fed guide to life.
So which does a slightly better job than saying we're eating curry.
Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah. Well done, host of that show. Like Evan.
Yeah, for example.
So,
I feel like this is just, like, petering out. I feel like last week's podcast was, like, The Dark Knight, and this week's is kind of like The Dark Knight Rises.
See, here's my thing about comparing The Dark Knight to The Dark Knight Rises. I don't actually think The Dark Knight is as good as everyone's remembering it, and I don't think this was as disappointing either.
I wasn't disappointed, I was just...
I know, but what I'm saying is I think The Dark Knight hit, like, its perceived greatness totally hinges on Heath Ledger's performance, because that's really the only thing, like, 4 years later that I really remember from The Dark Knight. I didn't remember any of the details of Harvey Dent at all. I didn't remember...
You're bad at remembering.
That's true. But I feel like the Harvey Dent stuff was not very memorable in The Dark Knight. And the stuff where it was like Lucius Fox hanging out with Bruce Wayne and showing him all his gadgets was especially not interesting. So I feel like you can't really discount The Dark Knight Rises for not having Heath Ledger in it. I think it was as good of a movie minus a really awesome performance.
You think so?
That's my quick take on The Dark Knight Rises, even though we weren't supposed to review it.
Well, I wonder, like, so there is a lot of... It's hard to follow something that's really good. Heath Ledger as the Joker was a really good villain.
Right.
I'm trying to think again, comparing to Breaking Bad, because the last season 4 of Breaking Bad was pretty phenomenal.
Yes. But it wasn't as phenomenal as season 3.
Yeah. So is it just hard to follow up something that's really phenomenal with something equally as phenomenal?
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
But it's not like I was disappointed by season 4.
No, not at all. And I wasn't really disappointed in The Dark Knight Rises. But I also wouldn't put any of the movies on the scale of a Breaking Bad. It's definitely above The Newsroom, to bring it full circle.
Oh my goodness. So much above The Newsroom. What would it look like if Aaron Sorkin...
I don't even want to
directed.
Talk about that.
Or if Nolan directed The Newsroom.
I'd probably be a lot better.
More atmospheric.
Probably be a lot less sexist. Even though...
There are female characters in Christopher Nolan's movies that are fine.
Yeah, they're fine. Exactly.
Catwoman was pretty cool.
I really liked Anne Hathaway in that.
I liked her better than Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman.
Oh, yeah.
There, I said it.
Oh, yeah.
Michelle Pfeiffer was in a movie I saw today on Encore, Dangerous Liaisons.
Nice.
Remember that?
Perfect. All right, let's wrap it up.
Yeah, it's getting sad.
All right. You can follow me on Twitter at Marqualler, MarQualler. You can occasionally follow Bridget at BestBridget on Twitter.
I'll start tweeting more.
You can follow Chris at QHRIZ Polly. You can follow Blogulator Radio at Blogulator Radio. Follow our friend Sarcastro at Sarcastro. Follow the Blogulator at the Blogulator. Pretty much find us all on Twitter and Facebook and Google Plus and all of that good stuff all the time. So with that.
Oh, wait, one last thing.
Yes.
At the theater tonight, when we went to buy concessions, Qualler was wearing.
It's my Kenny Rogers shirt. From the box cutter episode of Breaking Bad.
And the nice man, young man working at concessions said, "Are you wearing that shirt because of Breaking Bad?"
It was the first person who's ever commented on that. I was very pleased.
Right, it was awesome.
Good job, guy who works at the movie theater.
Yeah, if you're out there.
If you're listening.
There.
Great job.
If this were NBC, after he said that, it would zoom out to our house and he'd be on our roof.
And then thunder would strike.
Yeah.
And then it would be scary for some reason.
Yeah, and then the credits.
And then it would say executive producer John Wells, Michael Crichton, and Aaron Sorkin.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the a super team. Show super show of the mid-90s right there that I just created.
I'd watch that.
Yeah. All right, I'm Qualler.
I'm Bridget.
And our opinions are valid.
Thanks for listening.